Price drop? Time to shop. Get to a Nordstrom Rack store today for first dibs on new markdowns. Now score even more, up to 70% off brands everyone loves at Nordstrom Rack. Denim, dresses, sneakers, tops, and more. Plus, get genius deals on jackets, sweaters, and boots for the whole family. Shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and save up to 70% with new markdowns. But hurry, deals this great won't last.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hi, everyone. I'm Joanna.
And I'm Jenny.
And this is Hyphenated, the podcast about living in the hyphen.
Well, I was actually shocked, Joanna, that you wanted to talk about the city that I was born and raised in.
Jenny, I am just absolutely fascinated and have always been weirdly fascinated with Miami. I've been going to Miami ever since I was a kid because I have so much family there, and now so many friends of mine live there. And every time I land, I'm always like, am I in some like magical realism place? Like everything from the Art Deco to the eternal highways to then the mixed of cultures to the weird voodoo references. Like, it is a place that I just can't wrap my head around.
I mean, I lived there for 28 years and I still can't wrap my head around it. I still can't properly explain it to people who think they know what Miami is. People that have either never visited or people who have only visited the South Beach portion.
Right, like there's the Spring Break Miami that we saw on MTV, right?
Yeah, and that's the reality is when most people vacation there, it is along the beach. It's no one's going to fucking Westchester or Kendall to vacation. Right. So, yeah.
But now we're seeing a lot in the media this new surgence of having Miami be the backdrop of a lot of stories we have on Netflix, Cocaine Cowboys, the documentary, The Last Resort. I mean, this was a while ago, but even GTA, Vice City.
Well, there's a Hugh Jackman movie that's coming out this year that's set in the future in Miami, which is a little terrifying because apparently some of it is underwater.
I mean, Miami is a place that I think people are fascinated by, and they're fascinated by the stories of Miami, but also as a place like a breeding ground for the absurd. I feel like Miami is a hyphenated city if I've ever seen one.
Absolutely.
Like, it is all of the things. It's a bizarre, I always feel like Miami is, yes, it is a very American and Latin American place. You have the Latino culture, but then you have strip malls. It's like this bizarre, like capitalism. You have these crazy malls with a bunch of air conditioning, but then you have these little areperas right next to it. It feels like a place that is still figuring out what it is with all of the ingredients that's in it.
It's interesting that it's still trying to figure out what it is because it's been around for like 100 years.
But 100 years for a city is like nothing. Like Miami, yeah, is a teenager.
Oh, it definitely is.
If you look and compare it to other, Paris has been around for fucking forever. They got their shit down, okay? They know what they are.
Well, that's why they're so confident. They're so confident.
I mean, New York's been around for a significantly longer amount of time. Miami is just sort of this teenager. And it's still, I feel like it's going through its
puberty, like awkward phase.
Miami is going through puberty still.
So it's like a preteen.
I think it went through a crazy preteen phase like in the 70s and 80s. And now it's like, oh, I'm in college now. Let me figure out who I am. What is my identity? Miami, I think, is going through an identity crisis. Like, I think it knows, like we do, the parts of itself. But then how it all mixes together is always confusing.
Yeah. I mean, I've talked about this before, but in the 28 years that I lived there, I never felt like I fit in entirely.
So I think that for me, I wanted to understand this weird, bizarre teenage city. And Jenny, I went through a rabbit hole.
What did you discover?
I've discovered so much. a lot of my impetus for figuring a lot of this stuff out is because I'm consuming a lot of this content that now has become universalized, like Cocaine Cowboys. But I think a lot of it also has to do with the fact that I have a lot of family there, and then my brother moved there and has a theater there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of his theater productions are based in the history and culture of Miami, and he is fascinated by it to the point where he's just in shock that there isn't more. And so sort of as a way to prove to my brother that I am as smart as him, because that's something that I've been struggling with my whole life, but also because I'm just fascinated by it, I've been doing research for like quite some time. And I don't know how the education was in your school system about your city, but I can give you the Spark Notes version.
Not at all. Sorry, King's Christian School and St. Brendan High. I learned absolutely nothing about my city. They cared more about us doing communion the right way than they put any kind of emphasis on the history of Miami. We had none of that. Zero.
Well, to be fair, I don't think a lot of people learn about the history of Miami because it's not seen as historical. It's almost seen as like modern. It's maybe seen as new.
Could be.
You know? So just even the birth of Miami was ridiculous. Okay? You had Julia Tuttle. Okay? She was an American businesswoman who owned like a shit ton of land in Miami. And she basically tried to convince this railroad guy called Henry Flagler, okay? And she was like, dude, you gotta come, please just build a railroad to Florida, to Miami, because I know a lot of the crops everywhere in the States are like dying, but here in Florida, oh my God, no crops are dying. Please build a railroad. Please, I beg you, connect us to the rest of the United States. And Henry Flagler was like, yeah, great. I'm gonna build a railroad there. I'm also gonna build a resort because I wanna vacation there. So just from its birth, Miami was a resort town. It was born, and it's like the first thing there, boop, resort.
So an interesting thing about Miami, of all places, is that it's the only major American city founded by a woman.
I mean, that's mind-blowing right there.
I know. She's just like, fuck it, I'm going to do it. And she did it.
This woman couldn't vote, and she was like, I'm founding a city. Like, what a fucking bamf.
Bamf!
So after this, like in the early 1900s, Miami Beach was just developed as a beach resort. And it was sort of like this Atlantic City style playground and like retreat for wealthy people, mostly because the whole agriculture thing that Tuttle said just never worked out. So it just became like this bit of a hedonistic, chill vacation spot for like rich people.
Makes sense.
Makes sense. There we go. Yes. It's like you know when you know a friend for a while and then you meet their parents and you're like, oh my God, I understand why you are how you are. This is what this feels like to me.
Like, I understand why Miami is the way it is and why papi chulos around the city are driving like Beamers and they come home to their efficiency.
Well, it was like a lot of money came in and a lot of people with money came in. And so in the 1920s, like, the amount of construction was like insane, which is funny because now when I go to Miami, every time I go, I'm like, why are there 17 new buildings in this one street?
That and also Miami's perpetually in construction. Like that's like an inside joke amongst the locals.
Oh, yeah.
Like in LA, when I see something going under construction a year later, I'm like, wow, look at what they did. It's done. Wow. Miami, every time I visit, I'm like, I cannot believe they're still working on this. God help me.
Always a work in progress.
Always a work in progress.
So there you have Miami, vacation spot for the elite. Also like a huge retirement place for like older people. Like you'd walk down Miami Beach in the 50s and 60s and the average age was like 102. but then in the 1960s was this huge exodus of Cubans from Cuba. Obviously, Miami is right next to Cuba. So the most logical place for Cubans to escape to from a increasingly more dictatorial regime is like, oh yeah, let me just like fucking cross 90 miles and get there. So you have this like influx of Cuban immigration. And like what I've noticed is, yes, like Miami is an insane melting pot with Haitian immigration being an important part, with all other types of Latin American immigration being an important part. But like Cubans make up 34% of Miami. Yes, 70% is Hispanic and Latino, but almost half of that is Cuban. It was just like this boom of Cuban immigrants in a very short period of time that sort of revolutionized this place, to have that sort of Cuban American feeling to it. This culture, it's not only people, it was like cultural influx, you know? So Cuba is intrinsic in part of Miami's culture. I don't know how you, every time I go there, I feel like I just assume everyone is Cuban. That's just how I function in Miami.
Yeah, I can understand why people think it's just 99.9% Cuban, which is obviously not true. But even like the whitest people there have a Miami accent. Mm. And you would think that they could possibly be Cuban because, again, Latinos look like anybody. So even if you've got like someone like a ginger, like they...
Jenny, you forget I'm a ginger every time we talk.
But what? That's what I'm saying. Like you have... But I'm talking about actual like American gingers. You could have like the most American looking person.
Yeah.
And have no Hispanic background and they'll sound Cuban. That's mm-hmm. it's just become like the main accent of the city.
Pero like.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
And every time I meet someone new, I'm like, when did you get here and how?
So, yeah, my grandparents on both sides came to the States in the late 60s via the Freedom Flights. Mm-hmm. My dad's side is a little more complicated because they went to Miami, then to LA, then back to Miami.
But their first spot was Miami. Like, they landed in Miami.
Yeah, I believe so, but not for long. I think because a lot of my dad's childhood was in California. Mm. And then, because there's a lot of LA Cubans as well. And then Jersey Cubans. So there's like different pinpoints throughout the states where a lot of them assimilated and moved to. Obviously, Miami's the number one because, duh. Again, it's right there. But I think even back then, the reason why my grandparents just never bothered even learning English was because Miami was a very easy place to assimilate to. Mm-hmm. Versus if they had moved to, like, I don't know, Oregon, like, you know.
Well, isn't Spanish like an official language in Miami?
It's like the primary. Like, yeah. This might not be a statistical fact or anything, but as someone who lived there and worked various customer service jobs across the entire city from Miami Beach to Homestead, I can attest to the fact that the number one spoken language is Spanish. Like, you go through a drive-thru for a restaurant, you go anywhere. And I would say 7 out of 10 times, 8 out of 10 times, the employees there mainly speak Spanish. They have a hard time speaking English. And if you do not speak Spanish to them, they judge you for it.
I just looked the statistics, Jenny. You were right. Because 60% of Miami's population speaks Spanish.
Yeah.
That's a majority.
Makes complete freaking sense. I'm so grateful that I learned Spanish. Like, Spanish was my first language. And then I learned English in school. But if it wasn't for Spanish, first of all, I wouldn't have the career that I have. Second of all, I would have just freaking struggled so much.
Language says so much about a place. And I think it's very interesting that, one, 60% of Miami's population speaks Spanish. But two, the English for Miami is distinctly different.
Oh, yeah. We have our own words that we made up.
You sound super Miami. Like, yeah. when you just let go.
Well, I can really let go, and then it's way more intense.
Which I'm sure if a linguist came and like talked to us, they'd be like, yeah, that is specifically the the way that Cuban and Spanish has like influenced and infused itself with English, which is like Argentinian Spanish sounds Italian because of the amount of Italian immigrants that arrived to Argentina. Like it isn't,
it makes sense.
You know, it isn't like a miracle. It's like, it's just the fusion of different cultures and stuff.
But no one's afraid to be themselves. Mm-hmm. In terms of like being proud of your culture and speaking the language and whatnot, like no one gives a fuck over there. Which that's why it was so interesting for me when I moved to Los Angeles and made friends with a lot of Mexican people my age. And it was astonishing the amount of Mexican friends I have whose parents purposely did not teach them Spanish. Mm-hmm. Or other Latino friends that I have out here in LA that are Colombian or Venezuelan or Peruvian, and they were raised in various parts of the US that aren't very Latino heavy. So their parents were like, nope, you're learning English and English only.
Right. So much of the process of assimilation for Latinos in other places and of other ethnicities and countries of other places is wanting to mix in with the culture and not stand out.
Yeah.
But in a place like Miami that is so inherently Latin, like it is for me, I've said this so many times on this podcast, but Miami is the closest you get to the United States. Because it's like, it just doesn't feel like it's in the United States. It feels like something completely different. And there's other cities that give me that vibe. Like in New Orleans, I was like, wow, I really do feel that this place was under French control, and then it was under Spanish control, and then it became part of the US. Like I feel that. I went to Las Vegas and I'm like, this place feels like it was made for casinos. It doesn't feel like a place that people came with their Oregon Trail and were like, oh, I'm going to build up a city here in the desert. No, this feels like a place that made itself around a certain thing. And I feel like Miami has a lot of similarities to some of those places in that it just feels different. Like I'm from New York. I go to Philadelphia and it feels like the suburb of New York. I go to Boston and it just feels like a cleaner New York. Like, you know what I mean? There's like, yes, it's very different culturally, whatever. But it kind of, it's the same essence. Miami has this completely different sazón. I think Miami is like the hot cousin who is younger than everyone else and loves to party and is smart, but is like trying to figure themselves out and is just unrelentingly proud of who they are versus like, oh, the family history. What is the family history? Like, I feel like so many other U.S. cities are like, the Constitution was signed here. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. It's very historical, like from an American standpoint. But yeah. Miami's very like, here's where Juan Ponce de Leon took a piss.
Yeah. And like, oh, Versace was murdered here. Like,
yeah.
I feel like a Miami is a lot of things, obviously. But I do believe that there's a certain era in Miami's history that has everyone obsessed with. It's like when Britney Spears went crazy and shaved her head and everyone keeps talking about it. And it's been like forever. That's like the 70s and 80s for Miami, I feel. Like, that's when the cocaine cowboys happened. That's when Miami became the murder capital of the U.S. That's when Pablo Escobar was exporting cocaine from Medellin into Miami. It became like a hedonistic, they called it like cocaine cowboys because it had lawlessness like the Wild West. And it was just a complete disaster in many ways. It was murder. It was drugs. It was like this, that, and the other. But a lot of what like came out of it that is still around today is this clubbing culture. Like clubbing culture was literally invented in Miami. The concept of a bottle service was invented in Miami. The Cosmo drink, which I thought was Carrie Bradshaw, like New York drink, the Cosmo was invented in Miami. And that is a lot of its appeal. That's what a lot of people travel to Miami to do. So although it like left behind this murder reputation, you know, some of that lingering hedonism sort of stayed. But I think a lot of people are like enamored in this weird way, like sadistic way, with this like dark time in Miami culture. I don't know if your family lived through it. I'm like so curious like what it was for normal people like driving to school.
Normal people?
Yeah. Not like, you know, I have a 500 foot yacht because I, you know, smuggled cocaine in from a cartel. Like that's not a normal person in Miami, but that's what people assumed Miami was.
Look, I'm going to be completely honest and transparent. Even when I was in my Catholic private school, there were kids who got expelled for having cocaine in their lockers. There were times that they had to bring drug dogs in to sniff out lockers. Like, I knew people in my school whose dads were in jail for drugs. So the truth of the matter is, it's still very much a part of the culture. Mm-hmm. I remember so many girls in my grade trying to lose weight because of cocaine. I had a friend who had a heart attack because of cocaine. We were juniors in high school. And then, she had a heart attack. And thank God she's still here today. But she had a heart attack due to a cocaine overdose. And it's just, I don't know. I've always been straight edge, so I have no idea. Like, I've never been around anyone who's actually snorted cocaine in front of me. I've stayed very far away from that my whole life. Like, I will say, I was very much a part of the club scene in Miami, but in the most, like, basic and innocent of ways, because, again, I don't drink. So I would go to clubs and I would dance my ass off and then I'd go home at a reasonable, like, reasonable in Miami is like 2 a.m. going home. The partying does not stop. So, like, there were times that, let's say, I had to go to the beach early in the morning for, like, a shoot or an actual just beach day. I would see women stumbling barefoot along dirty ass South Beach, holding their heels, wobbling around because they just got out of a club at like 5 a.m.
If this was 2008, March of 2008, one of those people might have been me. Okay.
Okay.
I'll say it.
There we go. In Miami, shit's open all the time, like 24-hour Taco Bells, Walmarts, Kinko's. Fuck, everything's 24. Everything's a fucking party, even when you're getting copies done of your book report. Like, it's just like, bam, bam, bum, 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 right. Bum, bum, you know?
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade, New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker, London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Well, I think it's interesting because I feel like, so we've talked about the birth of Miami being this resort town. And I feel like the birth of Miami being a resort town, you know, sticks around to what it is. It's still a place people go to vacation. People go to experience, you know, clubbing and yachting and this, that. Like, it has that semblance of its past. But then it's so weird because then you have this influx of people leaving their countries to live a dream. Mm-hmm. Like, you have the immigrants, you have the Haitians, you have the Cubans, you have the Venezuelans, you have the Central Americans. You have this merge and mix of people wanting a better life, honestly, mixed with this culture of hedonism. So it's like, you know, you have people seeking a dream and then you have people seeking a dream during spring break. Like, it is people seeking a dream. Like,
but they party. That's all. It's a city where you party more than you work. I feel like Miami culture is living for the weekend. I just remember that so distinctly. Like, when I was in my 20s and I had, like, a regular-ass little caquita job, and all my coworkers were like, I can't wait for Friday. Like, they would just live for the weekend. And then they would go back to their regular 9-to-5. And then back to partying. Like, there was no lounging around on weekends. That was almost unheard of. It was almost a mortal sin to do nothing on the weekends. Like, you had to go party or una pachanga in some way or another. Every weekend, someone was throwing a party in some house. There was always a DJ who would come, you know? And again, DJ culture is really, really, really big in Miami. Like, almost everyone I knew in that town was a fucking club promoter with their little flyers.
Yo, all my friends that went to University of Miami from Caracas, like, all of them became club promoters for, like, a semester. Like, they were I'm a club promoter now.
I'm not surprised. That was, like, a rite of passage in Miami. Like, you had to, like, become a DJ or a club promoter. It's nonstop over there. I mean, again, Miami's a city that even throws parties when there's a Category 5 hurricane on its goddamn way.
Right.
Literally, like, this death ball of rain and thunder and wind gusts is, like, coming, and everyone's out of fucking Flanagan's getting drunk and partying, and, like, there's literally things called hurricane parties.
Oh, no.
Everywhere else in the U.S., if there's a hurricane coming, everyone's like, oh, shit. Like, we got to take this Miami, olvídate. So you can only imagine how Miami handled COVID.
Oh, yeah. Well, I actually had to go to Miami for 24 hours, like, during COVID because of work. I was so scared. And as I was driving from the airport, I saw people, like, standing in lines. And I was like, oh my God, is this to, like, get tested? Because that's what was happening in New York. Like, everyone was, like,
cute.
Waiting in
that's
lines
really
to get tested.
Cute.
And they're like, no, that's for a club. I'm like,
bro,
what?
They don't care. I ain't all important.
The fuck?
They, partying is life. It is in their veins. Even as a kid, I remember being 10, and they would have Power 96 DJs freaking spinning at a kid's roller rink. Okay? Even we were going hard as kids. Like, it's just ingrained in us. To party.
You know, one of the things that I find really interesting is I have a friend that moved there, and she was struggling a lot economically. She was living with an aunt. It was just, like, really, really hard. I felt so bad for her. Someone had stolen a bunch of money from her. And we hung out at a cafe, and then we stepped out, and I'm waiting for my Uber, and she goes into a Mercedes-Benz. And I'm like, oh. And she's like, yeah, oh my God, can you believe my husband got it for me for my birthday? And I was like, I am so confused by this. But then I started thinking, and I'm like, well, this is someone that has been struggling, right? And she's arrived to America. And everyone is always sold on this concept of the American dream. And Miami is sort of a place where this American dream was taken to, like, a hyperbolic extreme, you know, like yachts and this, like, during the 70s and 80s, it was just like the American dream was so absurdly unattainable. It was so luxurious. It was fed by the drug trade that, you know, I think some of that remnants is seen now where people feel like they need to show that they're okay economically. Mm-hmm. Like, yep. They want to show that they're okay. And I do feel like it does come from a place of desiring to be perceived as succeeding, which is so natural for people. I just find it interesting the way that it is shown but with my friends and some of my family in Miami versus other places. I mean, I feel
big
like
time.
Succeeding in New York is just paying your rent.
Same in LA. Succeeding here is... Fuck, you can own a place, you've won the lottery of life, you know, and it's
I'll
like...
never forget when I got a washer dryer in my apartment.
Oops, I mean...
And I was like,
Woo!
I made it. I made it.
You made
and
it.
Then my,
I made it.
And then my friends from Miami are like, so, like, where's your car? I'm like, I don't have one. I take public transportation. What the fuck is wrong with you?
That is. It's funny because in Miami, I had so much pressure put upon me as a woman to be on 24/7. I remember in high school, I would go bowling with some girlfriends, and like some of them would go dressed like they were going to fucking Club Space with little taconcitos and a mini skirt and a little push-up bra to go bowling, bro. You're about to put on these ugly ass clown shoes with your fucking clubbing outfit to roll a fucking ball down and like... That is Miami culture. Like, I couldn't go to the mall without dressing nice because you're going to bump into, like, Maris Lacy's, who's always looking like $1 million. Everything has to be pristine. In high school, it was all about who had the designer bags and who had the fakes, who had the this, who had the that, who had that mansion and the yacht parties and, you know, all this shit. And I grew up, you know, low middle class. Till this day, I don't own a designer bag. So I imagine being a young woman growing up in a city where your looks and the material things you owned mattered more than anything, mattered more than what you achieved in life.
Yeah, I just feel like Miami has these two portrayals. One is this like beautiful, perfect vacation land with bikinis and yachts and Ferraris, and then and all of that all of what that entails. But then you have like this story of a really diverse melting pot of all of the cultures you can imagine. And it feels right now like it's trying to shake itself out and off of its previous reputation. And I think that there's people wanting to go there to make it known for something else. Theater directors and chefs and this and that, like just trying to reflect the melting pot versus the stereotype of what it is. Like Miami sort of lives up to its stereotype sometimes, but I think it's a place with so much potential because of all of the things and elements that are there already.
The way you described Miami just now is the way I wish media portrayed it, because I think media likes to go with just one angle of Miami, which is cocaine and lavish hotels and Brickell and murder dramas. And it's like, I'm fucking tired of it. It's played out. It's not all that we are. And Miami has like a lot of freaking people like me who feel like we don't fully belong, but we're there. And there's a lot of us. But we don't ever see that in media. It's always the same crap. I remember when I was an extra on Burn Notice and Dexter, and they always put me in the tackiest, most revealing wardrobe because, like, that's how media views Miamians, like these, like, tacky club goers with titty tassels. And I'm just like, we are more than this.
I think the movie that, for me, just showed what, like, artistic capacity Miami had is Moonlight. Mm-hmm. And Moonlight, this is a fun fact, the world premiere was at my brother's theater because the creators and the director wanted the premiere to be in Miami, where this story was told, which the story is gritty and real and it shows the problems of its society. It isn't this like pristine, perfect, you know, shiny little fucking
like
Ferrari.
Everyone's rich and exactly. I'm tired of that. That's like the same narrative. Moonlight is a fantastic example of telling stories that pertain to Miami that show a different side of Miami and a very real side of Miami. It's not the same crap over and over again. And I think that's why so many people have the wrong idea of the city and how truly eclectic and strange it really is. And even with my work, I'm constantly pushing for all of my stuff, whether it's animation or live action, I'm constantly pushing that the location be in Miami. And you'd be surprised how hard it is to sell a show that takes place in Miami for some reason. And it's hard because you can't even explain it. You'd have to have lived there for them to be convinced, like, oh, you're right, this is a wacky city, we should definitely highlight it. I'm sorry, like, I love New York City, but goddamn. Yeah. We've gotten so many New York City stories, and I'm just like, can we please do more with Miami and diversify the stories of Miami and not it be, again, a fucking lavish hotel and a bunch of women that look like Sábado Gigante models? That shit's whack already. I'm tired.
You know, I think a lot of maturing is looking at yourself and seeing that your faults are part of who you are and how your imperfections make you who you are. And I feel like Miami, as a teenager, is ignoring the faults a little bit, or maybe it's getting out of this phase where it mm-hmm. wants to be this beautiful, perfect place. But there's like a seedy underbelly. There's problems. There's a lot of, like any city. And I think that it is now, it's like, this new era. I think Miami just got out of college and, you know, and they're like, actually, these parts of the city are what we are. And I think that that is the new era that hopefully it's moving towards.
So, Joanna, I have a Miami word for you.
Please,
and I want you to try to guess.
Word. Okay. Oh my God. All right.
Sauecera.
Sauecera?
Yeah.
Sauecera.
Hint here, Spanglish.
Sauecera. Okay, what does it sound like in English? Sour sauce. Is it sour cream or something?
No.
Is it a type of rain?
Nope.
Sauecera. Sour.
Southwest.
Southwest? It's something that's kind of southwest? Are you fucking kidding me right now? Really? Sauecera is... Are you serious?
It encompasses like Westchester, Olympia Heights, Miami... That kind of area, basically where I was raised. Where I was raised is considered La Sauecera.
Oh my God, that's the most Miami thing I've ever heard.
Southwest.
Sauecera.
Southwest.
I feel like Miami does the opposite of LA. You have Los Feliz and Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah, everything's, you know, Americanized.
La Cienega. And then Miami is like, Sauvetera, La Menestri, you know?
Justin, and so good. Thousands of spring deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save big today on new arrivals from Kate Spade New York, Nike, Sam Edelman, Free People, and Madewell, starting at only $30. Great brands and great prices on dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and more. So rack your look and get first dibs on spring styles you want now from just $30 at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.